I'd like to thank His Holiness Sri Advaita Swami for the nice class. In the same Adi Lila, in the beginning, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned Anarpitam Shirim Charat Kurunaya Vitirna Kalo. The Lord Chaitanya, He's coming as an avatar in order to bestow upon us something that He hasn't bestowed for a long, long time. In other words, Ujvala Rasa, the highest rasa. Generally, people, when they hear Ujvala Rasa, Madhurya Rasa, they think it's something like material rasa between young boys and young girls. But actually, this rasa has nothing to do with anything material. Neither does the rasa of Dasya or even Shanta or Sakya or Vatsalya have anything to do with anything material. It is a completely transcendental rasa experience, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us a very simple process of obtaining that rasa. Namely, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, just as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha, tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. That if one understands me in tatvataha, as I actually am, then namely my appearance and my activities, then he doesn't take birth again in the material world. And as Srila Prabhupada says, that if one simply says unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even once, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one at once becomes liberated and goes back to the spiritual world. I don't know how many times we've all said Hare Krishna, and I'm sure many of us are still waiting to go back to the spiritual world. So what is the key to go back to the spiritual world? How do we say Hare Krishna in such a way that we actually mean it? That we actually believe when we say, without our fingers crossed, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that means that I'm actually your servant. Therefore, there's a process of gradually experiencing what Krishna's name is, then his form, what his associates are, or who they are, what their qualities are, what their pastimes are, and ultimately to awaken our feelings towards Krishna, our natural feelings towards Krishna, where Krishna says, Anusuyave, we're no longer unhappy the fact that Krishna is God and we're not God. It's bad enough that He's God, but what's worse is that we're not God also. So how to overcome this, as Prabhupada says, misgivings. Sometimes it's translated as anarthas or misgivings. Generally we think anarthas means simply we're out in the street smoking a cigar or a cigarette, and that's an anartha. But I don't have so many anarthas because I've changed my address and I changed my dress, and therefore practically I've reached perfection. But actually, original anartha or misgiving is we're unhappy the fact that we can't be who we want to be, namely the Supreme. Or if I can't be the Supreme, at least as close to the Supreme as I can get. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduces a process by which we can become happy being who we are. And then we can find out who we are. Who we really are. So that begins with simply chanting Hare Krishna and then learning the process of sincerity. Prabhupada said that devotional service or progress depends upon nothing more than sincerity. Of course, that sincerity means to sincerely call out to Krishna. First of all, to believe that there is a Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the science of Krishna consciousness in such a way as to develop our awareness that there is a God, and His name is Krishna. And then, how to call out to Him in all sincerity to engage in something called His loving service. To call out for something that we don't know what it is very difficult. Therefore, the process of finding out what that loving service is begins with chanting Hare Krishna and then learning how to chant clearly. To not think it's a waste of time. I could be doing so many other things. Now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I have so many rounds to chant. And it's the same old Hare Krishna, so let me plan out what I'm going to do during the day. Or let me review yesterday and find out where I went wrong. I tried to become God yesterday like every other day. It didn't work out. I may have made a few mistakes. Let me review the past and plan the future. After all, the Hare Krishna mantra is very hard to chant. No one else seems to be chanting it, so why should I become proud and chant it above everyone else? No, to actually take the time and to think, well, it's worth my time, I'll try to chant Hare Krishna today and actually chant the Maha Mantra. And then we realize that actually this means we have to control the senses. If during the day we're engaged in so many other things and controlling the senses, finally, when we sit down to chant Hare Krishna or stand up, it's very difficult. It's actually quite bitter. All day long, my senses are wandering in so many directions, and suddenly I'm trapped here for so many hours having to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. It's more or less torture. Why did my spiritual master want to torture me? He seemed like a nice person when I met him. Then he gave me this bitter mantra to chant. It's not producing anything except for increasing my appetite. It's making me feel separation from prasad. So by the chanting Hare Krishna clearly, when we can actually start to control our senses and find out that when I chant clearly, it actually has an effect. At least the effect that I learn how to control my senses. Then, controlling my senses, as His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami had said, is not to get some material objective. People in the material world, in order to become rich or famous or get their personal assistant, they have to control their senses to some degree. No one simply puts their arms out and everything falls down into their arms. They have to work for it. This is a place of work, especially the middle planetary system. The people who are rich, they got rich by working for it. The people who are poor, they got poor by working for it. So similarly, if we want something, we have to work for it. And that means control the senses and focus the mind on that objective. So when we focus control our senses and chant Hare Krishna, if we have something in our mind, then Krishna, sometimes He reciprocates and we get what we want. As we've all heard, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So we've heard that. And as long as those things are in our heart, then that's what's supplied. But to actually hear about Krishna and His pastimes in the internal energy, or even in the external energy, to find out that these things are punak punascharvita charvanana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming as God, He's not coming with His entourage, His Chintamani palaces, and His Sarabi cows that give everything you want. He's not coming with His kapravriksha trees. He's coming as a mendicant. Poor Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Poverty-stricken, mendicant, practically speaking, he didn't even have a house. He was wandering the forest. And the only people he can convince was some animals to dance. He couldn't even get any followers. He just got some animals running after him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his wealth and the wealth of the six Goswamis was something different. It was constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To appreciate what that's like, we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transformations, etc., in his bodily features. Sometimes in Jagannath Puri, he became like a pumpkin. All the bodily, his limbs contracted into his body. Sometimes his limbs expanded out of his body. Sometimes from his body running after Chatvika Parvata, his body was oozing perspiration and blood. His pores of his body were erupting like Kandamba flowers. So this is quite extraordinary. We may take his imagination. How is this possible? But there are eyewitness accounts of it. If someone gives an eyewitness account of some sports event or some accident, then we take it seriously if it's written in the newspapers, because we accept the newspapers as some kind of authority. But here we have personalities within recent history, Krishnadas Kaviraj repeating what Swarup Damodar Goswami had said, what Raghunath Das Goswami had said, authorities, and they personally witness Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental transformations. But what were these transformations caused by? It was caused by his deep absorption in remembering Krishna with devotion. So we can also practice, come to that platform by chanting Hare Krishna clearly and finding out that this material world is actually not the great prize that we think it possibly might become. In other words, by simultaneously cultivating knowledge, understanding things properly, try to understand the value of, at least for a little while, put aside our material aspirations, put aside our material misgivings, and just chant happily. Not only chant happily, but learn how to listen to others chanting, happily or not. The greatest difficulty in modern society is that people can't listen to anything except for their minds. And everyone's mind is chanting the same thing. You're the best. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. I think you're the best. And it only time separates you from the fact that people eventually recognize it. You just have to follow my advice and gradually it'll be revealed to the foolish and less intelligent. Everyone's mind is chanting the same mantra. So because our mind's chanting, when we hear other people chanting, we don't want to listen to them because we don't hear them chanting, you're the best. We hear them chanting, I am the best. So we reject them. The foolish, they deride at my descending in this human form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my possible supreme dominion over all that be. So we have to learn how to hear, especially the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, and what to speak of hearing, learning how to appreciate how they're chanting. This is a great advancement. Anusuyave, our biggest impediment is our enviousness, and our enviousness practically takes the form of the fact that we can't hear from anyone. And if someone's speaking about Krishna, then we think, as Prabhupada once said, there was one man, he was a friend of one lawyer, and his other friend came and said, Mr. Patel has now become a high court judge. So the man said, well, that's not possible. I know Mr. Patel very well. He could not possibly become a high court judge. I have a whole dossier on him. No, I saw him. He has become a high court judge. I saw it personally with my eyes. All right, maybe he became a high court judge, but I'm sure they're not paying him anything. So to be able to simply be in kirtan and listen to others chanting, it's great advancement. We don't have to hear from others what Krishna is doing in the bushes of Vrindavan. in order to make spiritual advancement. We simply have to be in kirtan and listen to others chanting. And that way our mind will gradually turn out, the volume of our mind will gradually diminish. And that we'll be able to actually hear properly. And when we hear properly, then we'll be able to hear the philosophy of how to chant nicely. Chant nicely means how to call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their associates so that we can actually be elevated to the platform of transcendental existence. Loving service to Krishna, where we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us. Us means the real self within the body. This body, we all know what's going to happen to ourselves. You can just look at the palm of your hand. You look at your lifeline. It started out very glorious. Everyone loved you, that little, cute little baby, and it goes all the way down to the end. That's where it all ends, right there. So everyone's fate is already decided, and everyone winds up in the same place, namely dead. But we don't die. The soul's not going to die. We're going to live forever. But how we're going to live forever, that depends upon us. We can live forever with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, or we can live forever taking one body after another, trying to become Krishna. But if we take the simple process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hear about Krishna from others who have understood Krishna to some extent or a bigger extent, chant to Krishna asking for the ultimate goal of life, namely love of Krishna, prema paramartha mahan, chant happily, then the result is we'll begin to remember Krishna. And that is the greatest asset we can have. The six Goswamis externally had very little. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally had very little, but they had Krishna consciousness. So to remember Krishna, first to remember his form, what he looks like, and it's not some mysterious thing. It's not that when Krishna's form appears before us, it's going to look like something that we never saw before. No, just to remember the deities. Krishna has a flute, he has a peacock feather, he has blooming eyes like lotus petals. Then to actually be able to feel his presence when our attention is more on Krishna, then we'll find out that Krishna also has a presence. People who chant Hare Krishna, at first it should be obvious that this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not like any other vibration. Otherwise, how can people repeat it again and again, day after day, year after year, and not become bored? There is a transcendental quality to the vibration, and as one is able to pay more attention to it, then one can feel Krishna's presence more and more, and then one can understand what spiritual means. Then one can remember Krishna's associates, their pastimes, and eventually one's own natural feelings for Krishna awaken, and one can understand who we actually are. So by the simple process of hearing, and that is the most difficult thing, yad-tad-agre viśyāmiva parināmim ritopamam tat-sukham satyukham proktam atma-buddhi-prasadajam. It is very difficult to hear from anyone else. It is very difficult to actually accept. We can hear, but generally our hearing is motivated. We're hearing how to become a better controller and enjoyer in the material world. But to hear that we'll never become a very good controller, we'll never become a controller of the material world, we're never going to be able to enjoy the material world, all we can do at best is become a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and we can spend the rest of the time saying how many servants to go all the way down, of Krishna. So if we can accept that, learn the philosophy of how to become that, put that into practice, then we'll be able to chant Hare Krishna and actually get Krishna's association. And the more we get Krishna's association, we'll realize how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna consciousness is, that this is the Param Drishva Nivartite. It is by that higher taste that all our material aspirations, we can give them up. Krishna won't take them away, but we will give them up voluntarily when we find out how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful Krishna's devotees are and how wonderful ultimately everything is. How everything is an inspiration, Maya is, to help us become Krishna conscious. Maya is beating us to help us become Krishna conscious, and the devotees are giving us the lotus flower and some nice prasadam and inspiration to help us become Krishna conscious. But it is all meant for the same thing, that the only real valuable thing we have in existence is Krishna. Krishna is in our heart. He's calling us to come back. He's calling through the Bhagavad Gita, through the sound vibrations made by the devotees. He's calling us in so many different ways. And we simply stop and listen, and we hear what Krishna is telling us and follow it, then we'll wind up in Krishna's embrace again, and we'll get the most valuable jewel, most valuable prize of our existence, namely our love and awareness and our association with Krishna again, our dear most beloved. So, thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.